What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino. Nick, how much?
Oh,
Andy, this blew is his it off moment.
Before I shot yet.
Oh, I love these end of day podcasts.
Oh my god! A little bit late in the day, we all got the gold. You know what I mean? Nick, how much do you miss stand-up comedy?
I do actually miss it a lot. I miss the people in stand-up comedy more than the actual going out and just bombing like left and right.
Sure,
and I'm also
sure.
I'm conflicted because I think that they just had like a going away party because a bunch of comics that who are past at Punchline left and I didn't go to it because I was out of town. But I was like, I don't know, man. It's so loaded. It's so loaded. You know what I mean, Greg?
No, I definitely get lost unclear. On that journey. So people are leaving Punchline like because Punchline's
So a bunch of people left Punchline or left the area because
COVID.
From COVID, they left either that or they there was a mass exodus right before the shelter in place down to LA. So a bunch of people who were like the higher level guys left or guys and people left them with LA or New York.
That's like a graduation.
Kind of like, hey, it's time to go down to LA. Let's go down together and try to take out, go do like, perform a comedy store or shit like that. So I didn't realize that. But it's leaving sort of, it's going to be interesting to go back to it and see how many people are A, left in the city or in the Bay Area and B, who actually wants to come back to comedy and how that works. Cause right now people are doing like Zoom shows, which I'm against. And they're also doing like Bert Kreischer's doing like drive-through shows, which sounds pretty cool. And then there's like sheltered.
What
in
is
place.
That? Wait, hold on. What is that? Like he's in a McDonald's window and you drive.
No, I'm sorry. Not drive through. Yeah. Like drive in, excuse me. Not drive through. Drive through is what Andy and I did on KFAF 2 weeks ago.
Where can I watch that?
You can watch that at youtube.com/kindoffunny.
Thank you.
But yeah, I miss the people. I've been hopping on like Zoom calls here and there with a bunch of comics and it's always fun to just bust each other.
Are you still writing new material and stuff?
Here and there, but I keep writing COVID jokes, and then part of me is like, nobody's gonna want these.
They'll age like a fine wine.
Yeah, it reminds me of like when Donald Trump. Like I started a comedy when Donald Trump was making his run for president, and everyone had a Donald Trump joke. And then after about 6 months of him being president, I was like, nobody wants these jokes anymore. Sure. This is people are just. It's just it takes up so much of the mind share that after a certain point, you're like, I came to comedy to not think about this, and I have that feeling that that's what's gonna be. That's what COVID's going to be, where everyone's new hot, 8-minute set's going to be like, and then I didn't put pants on for 6 months. And then I got horribly depressed.
Wearing jeans?
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I did write a couple Mark Wahlberg jokes, though. So
that's never going out of style.
I've decided that I want to do more because I have a friend of mine that writes like he's been writing a ton of Fast and Furious jokes. I'm like, great. Now I can't write Fast and Furious jokes. But if there's one thing that I know everyone likes to universally make fun of, it's Mark Wahlberg.
Are you going to watch Nick Scarpino tonight? Nick Scarpino, which is the Mark Wahlberg guy. Oh, right.
Oh, he's the guy
with the Mark Wahlberg jokes.
Yeah,
no,
he's
I'm
got
not
like
gonna
5
watch
minutes
it.
On Mark Wahlberg.
No, I'm definitely not going to do that. What about jiu-jitsu? You missing that?
Yeah, I definitely miss jiu-jitsu.
All of us are homebodies. We go home, we're like ticks. We get right in there, embedded in the skin, underneath, feeding off something bigger. You know what I mean? But you want to go outside and do things.
Yeah, my studio is they're doing like whatever they can over Zoom, but it's just impossible to you can't practice jiu-jitsu by yourself. It's not work that way.
I see people on my drive to Starbucks every day, Nick. Mm-hmm. Just like there's like this park on my right as I'm driving, and there's this like group every day that's doing jiu-jitsu like practices, they're not touching each other. Well, so it looks hilarious.
Yeah,
because it's not quite like the Tai Chi stuff. Like they're doing jiu-jitsu and they're like miming different types of like, I don't know what you call them. Throws.
Just techniques. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or throws. Yeah, sure.
But it's very, very funny to watch. It makes me think of you every day. So there's something good about it.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I will say I don't miss the pain. I'm like, weird how after 2 or 3 months, I'm like, wow, man, I don't have any pain in my body and I don't understand why. It's strange.
Because you're living in this hyperbolic no that's not right damn it I fucked it up Kevin what'd you have to say?
Bubble.
quick question because Miller you brought up ticks and I'm sure you've seen it because I've seen I've been tagging a whole bunch of stuff
sure
but you see that there's some like anti-tick
tick vaccine right that's what I was going on obviously there was a kind of funny subreddit thread for it of people trying to make sure I knew and it's that thing of like I don't want to know about the testing of it I don't want to know about like a possible
solution. Wait, but it passed testing, becoming. Right?
Well, that is, can I go right now to the doctor? Can I get it? Like, can I get, hey, can I get a, can I get a large order of finasteride and then a side of the tick vaccine? That's what I need to be able to do before
you
I'm
want
like
a large gonna... order of the hair pill that Andy and I take to make sure we don't lose our hair. You know what, Greg, one of these days it's going to, we're going to come around that corner and baldness is going to hit you right in the head.
I don't
and me and
no.
Andy are going to be there for you. We're going to be there for you.
Nick, you're taking this the wrong way. It wasn't me making fun of you guys taking it. It was me thinking of what is another prescription drug I know by name.
Talking about,
we, just did in review where I got mentioned and you guys talked about it, and that's why I was like, well, the, you know, black hole reaching there. Yeah, but I've heard about this tick vaccine. I don't buy it yet. I won't get excited about it until it's like, okay, it's real.
Tim,
I can go, I get bit by a tick, I go in, I go pah, you know what I mean?
Well, that's my question. That's like Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah,
Greg, what if they said we're gonna give you the vaccine, but we have to let a tick burrow under your skin first? You have to get Lyme disease first.
I'm not taking that shot.
All what, right. If they, what if new the pill looks like a tick and you have to swallow
New Scientist.
It?
This is from the July 30th, Alice Klein at New Scientist. Lyme disease vaccine found to be safe and effective in the clinical trial. Also, why does every website want to give me notifications now?
On
God's
it.
Green earth, New Scientist, on my first time ever fucking hearing about you, you're going to be like, yeah, give me some fucking science updates. I need to know about molecules.
New Science.
Yeah. You know what I mean? A vaccine against Lyme disease
that, Kevin.
has been shown to be safe and effective in a clinical trial and could be available by 2025.
Fuck that.
You think I'm going to live 5 years with Lyme disease, Kevin, just because eventually it's going to be okay?
Here's what
Not
I'm
a
saying.
Chance.
Here's what I'm saying. I have such a respect for the people that have been working on that for 3 years and are going to continue to work on it for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
That's insane to me that you would put in nearly a decade of just constant studying to get something done and to get a cure for something. But Greg, I'm with you, Greg. I see through the bullshit. I see through the lies of the internet, where I feel like every 4 years we've heard about the cure for baldness is here. It's perfect now. Like, it isn't like a finasteride. It'll slow your baldness down or keep the hair. It's like, dude, you take a pill, grow your hair back like crazy. Like, I hear about this shit all the time, Greg.
Yep.
I'm with
Andy,
you, dude.
Did you see that thing I sent you the other day, Andy? The laser helmet?
No.
What the
fuck? Oh, yeah. I sent it to you. I probably put it on KFAF Ideas. I want you and I to get, they're like $1,000 a piece. They're laser helmets. They shoot lasers into your head. And it looks like, I shit you not, the helmet they wore originally in like Tron. Tron, and it apparently either works miraculously or makes your hair fall out more. Those are the two reviews I've seen on those.
Is it something that you would have to wear all day? Because it reminds me of when people want to work out their abs and they get those little pulsating wrist thing or not wrist, torso things, and
right,
they like pulsate your ab muscles.
So apparently, you only have to wear it for like 20 minutes a day. You just put it on and it like shoots lasers into your head and like opens up the capillaries or something. I don't know, but a lot of people said like it causes a tremendous amount of shedding at first, because you know, Andy, like when you first start one of the drugs, like you get kind of shocked because your hair like kind of falls out first and then it starts to regrow and like get used to the stimuli. This apparently does that, and so it's a perfect Amazon thing where you look, and of course, Tim, it's got 4.5 stars, and you're like, oh shit, this is of course gonna fucking, this is awesome, everything's got 4.5, this is great. And then you look at all of the 5-star ratings and it's like, this is the best product ever, I have so much thicker hair now. And then you look at the 1-star ratings and it goes, this made me lose my hair and now my balls don't work. There's just something completely, it just fucks everything up.
See, why take that shot? That's the same as Lyme disease.
You
remember, and
I'm
I know,
not getting laid anyway, dude.
Nick, you'll be the one who remembers. Well, even if you were, you probably don't want your balls work. Nick, this is the thing you remember probably more than these young bucks. But you remember, I stopped trusting science and solutions a long time ago. And it was when they introduced those potato chips. And they were like, these potato chips are fat-free, whatever the hell it is. And then you ate them and you got diarrhea.
Made you just leak. They call it anal linkage.
Oh,
yeah,
like
they call it anal linkage.
Like
they fried them different. They fried them different. It wasn't just baked stuff.
No. Yeah, the baked clays they still make. They used a different fat or a different oil called, like, I think it was fenfen or something that was like that, where basically it tricked your system into like quickly metabolizing them and passing them through. But what that did for a lot of people, and Kevin, I might be completely, that's what it was. What it did for a lot of people is it just made them constantly leak out of their anus.
Lay's Wow chips were fat free potato
is
chips.
The girl that was missing, right? There was an actor in China. that they found.
Oh no, Fen. I'm thinking Fen, which is I think something completely different.
I was joking around.
That's funny. No, yeah, there's always those products that come on the market that promise something, but it's unfortunate.
So this, yeah, and that's the whole thing is this could easily be a conspiracy written by ticks. I'm not going to just buy into it that in 5 years I'm not going to have to worry about Lyme disease because that's what they want. They want me to let my guard down. They want me to go on a hike this weekend with Jen, and they want me to get a tick and me go, well, no big deal. You know, you figure Lyme disease symptoms won't set in for another 9 months. Then I'm only down to 4 years. Then I can get the thing. 4 years comes around. I go to get this vaccine. It's just a giant tick talking to me. He's like, ha. Yeah.
I just want you to know, we're taking over the world. You've totally screwed me up. Like anytime now I go hiking, I'm always like,
good.
I don't like this. There might be ticks in there, and I don't super listen to Greg, so I don't know exactly why they're bad, but I know that I don't want them at all.
Lyme disease is bad.
You for sure don't want Lyme disease. It'll take you the fuck out. It fucks people up. I think it's what fucked up Avril Lavigne. That's why she like disappeared for a while, right?
Well, that's why there's the conspiracy, right? That she's not the same Avril Lavigne.
Here we go.
I don't want the conspiracy, but I know that like I just know that one of the housewives on World
One of the Avril Lavigne's
had it, and it fucks you up. It fucks.
Yeah, no, it's bad. You don't want Lyme disease, Kevin. All right, and I know that's the thing. You're walking this dog. Like, you got a dog. You got to walk around now, and I know he had a bunch of ticks on him.
Oh my God, so many. It would have been your worst nightmare.
Yeah, no, totally.
We got them all.
That's when I take, especially for as new as your relationship is with Cecil, on like weekend three or whatever it was that he was covered in ticks, it would have just been collar off, back in the car, and we're gone. I come home and I'm like, Paula, something bad has happened. I'm going to get you a new dog. Don't worry.
That's so funny. You come back to Andy Town where you left him and they're like, you just left your dog here. We've got him. And he's just covered in ticks. They multiplied.
Well, the unfortunate thing is like my like in-laws were like, you're overreacting. And I was like, I don't know, man. This dude says it's real bad.
This dude. I don't think it's bad, dude, on the internet.
No, not for the dog. You know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
I was like, I don't know what to do about the car. Like, do we have a bunch of ticks in the car now?
Yeah,
like,
what should we do for sure?
What do we do?
It would take me out.
I want to revisit not having, being okay with not having functional balls.
Because
Greg, you're like, well, yeah, you'd have hair, but your balls wouldn't work. So, like, you know,
what, they're not working now. That? So, what's the point?
Well, you said I'm not getting laid.
Yeah.
So I don't need my balls to work. And I was like, well, even if you were getting laid, I don't think you necessarily want your balls to work that way.
Yeah, well, you don't want
your balls are just taking a break. If they're just taking a break from putting out swimmers, no big
deal. Yeah, but here's my line of thinking. Like, you know, I'm not getting laid. I'm not getting laid, right?
Yeah.
And I would love to do extensive research and see how much time I would save in a week if I didn't jerk off. Like, if I took jerking off out of the daily routine.
Sure.
Because it's got to equal up to at least like 5 hours.
No way.
Yeah.
I know you're exaggerating right now, but like real talk, Andy Cortez.
Nah, about 5 hours in a week. Because like I sit there, I get in my bed, and I'm in my bed by, I don't know, 11:30 midnight, and I'm there just looking at
Reddit. You're streaming at 11:30 or midnight.
Well, not his neighbors, you know?
I get it.
How can you be quick? You just said it's going to be 5 hours.
Well, as soon as I'm off stream, I get back to the whacking. You know? Yeah. But it's not even the whacking. It's like there's steps involved, right? Yeah. You have to build up. You have to find certain sites. And every time I look at a video, it's like, is this the one that's going to do it? Mm. Maybe not. Let's go on. And then, of course, it becomes like a rabbit hole. You go on a Wikipedia rabbit hole where suddenly 6 hours in,
What are you jerking off to
on Wikipedia? It's all words.
No, I mean like when you go down a Wikipedia rabbit hole.
You mean just a rabbit hole. Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
I like to let the internet decide for me. That's like, I click on one and I'm feeling lucky. You just keep going. You just go, like, you ever play this game where you click on one and then you're like, this is not doing it for me. And then you scroll down, you have to click on one of the related videos and you just keep going down that rabbit hole until you find something that goes.
Exactly.
That's the fun one.
Suddenly I find
45 minutes a day.
And I span their career.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy it? I mean,
Nick, what? You're straight faced right now. Yeah. I look at me. Oh yeah, 45 minutes a day. That sounds right.
I mean, I could see you searching for 45 minutes just to find something. Because here's what you guys don't understand.
Hold on, Ignacio Rojas in the live chat goes the Wikipedia entry for vagina.
That's really funny. Yeah, because part of it is probably because Andy's probably desensitized to all the porn that he's looking at. So you have to find like something of interest that you haven't seen before. And like that could take 15 minutes, could take 45 minutes. You might just stop.
Yeah, or you're just trying to like, you know, find a video from 4 years ago that you were really fond
of. The right keyword, the right tags.
It takes a while. It's like, where is this located? Damn, it must have been taken down on this side because I'm sure like, it was copyrighted or whatever. Yeah. So you got
to
find
all the time. What's the tie up to these days? You're like, oh, it's been a while.
Andy, so here's the question for you as you're not getting laid right now. You say, would if the opportunity presented, are you using any of the dating apps during quarantine? Are you swiping? But, are you doing it? What would it take for a connection for you to actually go meet somebody?
I wouldn't say actively. Oh, I would never go meet somebody. Right? No way. Okay. No way. No. Like, there are specifications on there that say I am looking for like an online date or whatever. Or they've gone very COVID friendly with a lot of
those. Okay. Have you gone on an online date since this has happened?
Fuck no. Fuck.
Why not?
But I also haven't been really like it's not something I'm using every day or every like other day or every three days. It's like maybe once a week and I'll remember the app exists and kind of like look at it.
What if just did that? What if we start there? You're wondering what else you could do with this 5 hours. What if we just alternate between one day of furiously masturbating it and then looking at the app the next day?
Andy, don't give possible. Up. Don't give it up. You know what I mean?
I just feel like there's a lot of shows I could watch in that time.
Hmm. What are you flashing on your fucking face right now?
It came with my Razer keyboard.
Of course it did.
It's like a little like sample key so you could feel how the
mechanical
clicking keys. Sounds. Yeah.
Sure. Andy is that a brown carry keyboard?
Andy's very eccentric, Greg. I don't know if you've noticed that or not before, but I think he's getting more so as the paranoia.
As the Howard Hughes quarantine.
I was going to say that, but I'm willing to bet like let's just start naming the parallels right now. Okay. Doesn't leave the room.
Yeah.
It's dark in there. He only looks at things through a screen, so he only has things projected at him. And up until about a week ago, there was just lines of water bottles everywhere that had different colored fluid in them. So he may or may not be peeing in there.
He's still got that shotgun seat next to him, ready to have whoever in his mind sit down and interview. I like to imagine when he does sign off stream and he's up till 4 a.m., it's like 3 hours of him interviewing Abraham Lincoln just for himself.
So you're telling me.
Talking to this empty chair.
We got to get Andy a little standing.
Andy and Abe podcast here on Spotify class. Yeah,
we got to get you a stuffed animal or something for that thing, man. It's sad over there.
He's got all the chibis. Put some chibis over there. Take some. Put a chibi in there. What's chibis chibi? Over there?
Oh, those put little, a chibi there. What's a chibi?
Yeah, of course, that man who has the chibi and masturbation. Obsession is the Hispanic heartthrob Texas treat Latino heat clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The globetrotting headshot nitro rifle from twitch.tv. Andy Cortez.
Pleasure to be here, guys. Pleasure to be here.
And of course, rounding out the quartet, Forbes 30 under 30, aka the second best baby blues in San Francisco, aka the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week we come together to bullshit around with friends. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can write in with your questions, comments, concerns, and everything under the Kind of Funny sun. You can, of course, watch the show live if you're a patron. You can get it ad-free, and you can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every episode, all on patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can also get the exclusive show for just a buck, Greg Way. However, if you have no bucks toss our way, it's no big deal. You can head over to youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week to get a brand spanking new episode. No post show, chock full of ads. Will Andy talk about, you know, himself? Yeah, he will. That already happened. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, aka Momo.
Julian, hey, Momo.
Gluten free gamer. Blackjack, Lee Polero, Steve, he's got the powers, and Kieran O'Donnell. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show. With a question from the audience.
Why not Steve Austin Powers? Why don't we go with Steve Austin Powers?
He's got the power is awesome, Andy. You're a little young to remember that song, but it's a great song.
I experienced it during our incredible Transformers in Review.
No, that's a different one. That's You've Got the Touch. I've Got the Power was, of course, a very famous song at the end of the 80s, but they also used it in the Jeff Spinkman classic, The Power of One, where he fought with Kempo, and that's what made me take Kempo originally.
Elliot Moscow writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunny with the following story/question. I know the context of this question will likely in itself trigger debate, possibly debate. And, of course, please feel free to vent away, but I felt my query important enough to risk all possible concerns and judgments. I moved to Portland, Oregon with my family mid-October last year from Europe. Parentheses, I'm British. We were living in the Netherlands. Oi, governor. I added the oi, governor part. Just in time to get settled in, enjoy a taste of the West Coast, and go into lockdown. We've been fortunate in Oregon. Why did I say like oregano? Oregon. fingers crossed, touch wood, say Candyman three times, to have regained a certain level of freedom, and COVID cases have not so far skyrocketed. This past weekend, we took the opportunity to stay at a small resort hotel in Hood River. And while returning to our room, shirtless in swimming shorts, across the complex grounds from the pool, let the venting begin. With my two young daughters, I felt every eye upon me, from a safe distance, of course. And I've never felt so uncomfortable in my life. Is this a faux pas here? Should one refrain from casual toplessness outside of the boundaries of the pool area, or did I simply suffer self-consciousness in the face of sudden uncertainty as to the correct social etiquette? I know I can benefit from the wisdom of the panel. Thanks for all you do. Being new to the States, your voices have entertained and comforted in equal measure. Elliot's on a roller coaster of emotions here. Because for me, and even he knows it too, the way he sets it up, it's just this insanity of going to a hotel,
yeah,
in the middle of this pandemic.
I agree.
I don't know what the current Portland, Oregon restrictions are. He says we've been fortunate in Oregon to ever gained a certain level of freedom in COVID has not done that. But this past weekend, we took over the top of the hotel in Hood River, and while returning to our room shirtless in swimming shorts across the complex grounds from the pool, with my two young daughters, I felt every eye upon me. I would say the eyes would be upon you. For being at a hotel, were you in a mask? That's the other question.
Well, I think the bigger question is like, was the pool open? Because as far as I understand, pools are closed.
No, pools.
So they might have been looking at him like, these fucking dumb shits are getting in the pool.
No, I mean, some pools are open in California.
Wait, yeah, for sure. I've seen our friends in pools.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They're just like super spaced out, like where you're allowed to go because you're outside. But you're allowed to go, but the seating and all that stuff like spaced out like 12 feet away from each other.
Yeah, you can. Interesting, because like
I saw, because some of my friends own places in Palm Springs, and like even those pools are like closed down.
It's by
pools I saw that were allowed is like single lane swimmers, where only one person's allowed in the pool at a time.
Hmm.
I feel like everybody's making their own rules, and
every county.
Yeah, and it's so inconsistent. You know what this is like, Kev? This is like airports. Everybody's got their own way of doing shit now, and it's not consistent. And you go to one town over, and there's a pool full of 90 people, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we allow 90." It's like, what? This doesn't make any sense because in my town, everything's closed down. Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like everybody's giving a weird look, as if like, "Hey, dude, read the room."
But wait, quick question. Like, his original question is it weird to walk around a hotel shirtless? To which the answer is very simple. No. We all do it.
I've seen it a lot.
Right? Yeah.
I think it depends. Like, okay, so now we're getting into the minutia.
Yeah.
If you are walking around a Vegas hotel shirtless and you're not quite sure what day or time it is because you've had way too many Bud Lights, that's different than if you're in like a nice resort and you have the distance from the pool to your place is so far away that it's maybe etiquette wise you should put a shirt on. But not I don't bad, think that man. Would be anything that it's not like a fireable offense or anything like that. You know, like to me, if it's hot and you're comfortable with it, I don't think that's an issue at all.
I think it's more about a path to pool situation.
That's a good call.
No matter how long the path is, if there is a path that is arguable from your room to the pool, I think you can be shirtless.
And if you've got a towel hanging over your shoulder.
Yeah,
that's a big point. That gives you at least a mile.
Yeah, so and that also gives the viewer context as of like, oh, they are either going or they just got back.
Yep.
Now, the problem that I would see if it's maybe 3 a.m. and the pool's been closed for 5 hours and you're going to go get ice and somebody's there shirtless getting ice with you, then that's where it's like, hey, maybe put on a shirt, big dog. You know, you're going to the ice machine. You know what I mean?
Is it, I mean, again, though, this is my question for you. Is it one of those outdoor, like, resorty things where you walk out of your hotel and you're outside, like a dope fixed up motel hotel thing, or are we inside of the Hilton?
He calls it a small resort hotel.
Yeah, so I would think that maybe it's one of those things like you encounter in Napa, where like in order you go to your room, and as you enter and exit your room, you're going out into the outside, as opposed to like a Hilton or a Marriott where you have to walk indoors from the pool, go up the elevator, and then go all the way to your room. If that's the case, then you probably should put a shirt on.
Either case, you're fine not wearing a shirt. Either case, maybe places maybe like, you see someone in a hotel walking without a shirt, towel around his shoulder. It's like, all right, this guy's even maybe, if it's 3 in the morning.
But the problem is now, I think if you're walking now, you usually do the towels there nowadays and drop them off too.
Oh, like, I'm with you. No, fuck that. I always bring the towel back.
So I would say if you have to walk indoors, if you have to walk indoor and you have to potentially cross a lobby, then you got to put a shirt on. I think it's, I would say it's a faux pas not to put a shirt on once you go indoors. But the way around this, of course, is just to do what me and Tim do, which is just wear really small tank tops with Kevin's face on them.
Mm. Yeah,
that's good too. Mm-hmm. That is good.
Mm. You still buy it?
No, even if you're going through the lobby, as long as there's the path. Sale,
it didn't have my through. Face on it.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I don't know. You should do that.
I would wear the shirt when Jen and I have been off on these excursions and we go to the pool or whatever, even in Austin or whatever. When I'm out of the I have the shirt on the chair, and when I'm out of the pool and I dry off, it's right back into the shirt to go out the rest of the way.
You're 6'4". And you have got a big old mole on your like chest, like it's a scary beautiful sight. Mole. Like it freaks people out.
Yeah, I'm hairy.
I get
too. I'm hairy.
You know what I mean? No, that's fine. But I'm
that's
saying
the that's the question though. If you look, if you thought like, cause I think I look terrible with my shirt off. That's why the second I get up from the chair, the shirt gets on. It's on. And then usually around like 2 or 3 o'clock, if I'm still outside, I'm like, I have to go to the shade just so I can put my shirt on and hide my shame. But if you look great with your shirt off, I think that's let me back up. If you're confident with your shirt off, that's a different story. To me, like I'll get up, put my shirt on, go to the bathroom at the pool. I'll be like, people don't need to see me jiggling around all over.
I think if you look great with your shirt off, I would feel like it's a gift to see such a good body.
Look,
you know?
It's definitely a confidence thing. I don't look great with my shirt off, but I'm constantly walking around with my shirt off at hotels, like no problems, you know.
Yeah. Now here is the problem, all right, and I can't, you know, we don't have a lot of information. We don't have all the information we need from one Elliot Moscow. But he talks about a small resort hotel in Hood River. I Google Hood River. I put in resort hotels, right?
Mm-hmm.
I find the Society Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
They are a spa and bathhouse. They have at the top of their page here, COVID-19 closure notice. In accordance with state guidelines, we have closed the spa until further notice. We are deeply sorry for any inconvenience this causes, and we'll provide updated information here as the situation develops.
I think Elliot was the cause.
No, that might just be the spa, though, because no resort in California has the actual spa where like they offer spa, like massage therapy or spa treatments. Sure. None of those are open right now.
But I'm looking at Oregon. But I'm looking at the page here, and it looks like the spa and bathhouse is what page I'm on. And that's all. It looks like it's all in the same place. It's all in the same area. Yeah, I'm with you. I understand what you're saying.
But it's possible that the hotels themselves, like the actual rooms, are still open. Because what a lot of people are doing.
I know. I'm not saying the rooms aren't open.
Oh, you're saying that he went to the pool.
Maybe he went in the pool and everybody's looking at him aghast because he just went swimming in a thing that everybody knows is closed.
But up in Napa right now, the pools are open, but the spa, anything spa treatment, any of that stuff, it's closed. So all you have is the room and the pool. That's it.
I think the only option we have here is to call the spa.
I was thinking about it, but I'm trying to figure out if I can get a better read on what exactly is happening overall up there. Right
but I mean,
now I'm on the Columbia George Hotel and Spa.
The main question this kid's asking is it weird to walk around a hotel in your trunks without a shirt on?
Yeah.
To which the answer is no. You're doing something.
I would say yes. I would say yes if you're legitimately lounging around the hotel or you're not just directly walking back to your hotel room. Because if you're like the thing is, if you're walking through the lobby of the hotel without a shirt, that's
but that is what he was doing. And it's
then I would say put a shirt on.
No, he was walking back to his hotel.
But we don't know if he had to walk through common areas to do that.
But didn't we already decide that that's fine?
He said that he saw people, but he didn't see that he. I mean, I again, it's not illegal. I don't think it's. I think it's just a.
But you
that
wouldn't
is a cultural
stare
taboo
if someone did that at a hotel. You personally wouldn't stare at them.
if someone walked through the lobby of the hotel that I was sitting at shirtless, I would look. I would be like, yeah, man, I don't know. It's a good spot this way. It's a gray area for me. If the whole thing's outdoor,
right?
Yeah.
Well, he's talking about every eye upon him. Yeah.
Maybe he's got a good body.
Maybe he's got a great body.
Maybe.
I think what we need, again, it's so hard to tell because we don't.
Not enough information.
I need more visuals, man. I am such a visual dude, and I feel like I'd be able to solve this and crack this case immediately if I was to see how big the lobby was, how packed the lobby was, how far was the distance, the window situation, you know. Obviously, I guess there's curtains. Yeah, there's not any peeking into the window.
Here's the other wrinkle we haven't addressed. Is that he points out he's doing all of this with his two young daughters. At any point, if I see a parent and they've got if you're a parent and you're dealing with a kid, period, let alone two kids, and I'm sure they're in swimsuits and they've got little buckets of toys and floaties and stuff, like,
you're getting a pass.
You get a pass. Yeah. You get a pass for whatever the fuck's going on.
That's a real good point. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Let me rescind my prior statement. Yeah, you have the two kids. You're getting a pass from me. For sure. I'm like, I get it. I don't really get it because I don't have kids, but I can understand that. I mean, I have myself and I'm already a handful. So two smaller versions of me would be fucking horrible.
I could still imagine Nick walking up to me and be like, hey, man, been there. And I'm like, oh, you have kids? Like, no, don't have kids.
No, but sometimes.
Let me take this, Nick. And I'm going to turn it on you a little bit.
Sure.
In a way that more, I think,
could be uncomfortable.
Personally attacks a man of your conviction.
Sure.
I don't imagine you walking through lobbies shirtless and stuff just because of the type of guy you are.
Nope.
But I do imagine you wearing flip-flops everywhere. Even though,
sure,
like, you're going to the spa. Let's say you're going to the spa or whatever. I feel like wearing the flip-flops inside like that, it's a weird look for sure.
If you're at a resort, though. Statement.
But
if you're at a resort, and you're wearing flip-flops,
shirtless being in the pool, it's a pretty similar situation.
No, I don't think walking around shirtless and walking around in flip-flops at a resort are the same situation at all. And
yeah, because
not to disagree with you, but I think you're out of your flipping mind.
I think Tim is way out of line here, honestly.
I think you guys are crazy. You had this morning in review where you were like, the state of something or other. What did you say?
You're going to this place, right, for a reason. And if you're going to this hotel for the pool being part of that reason, then you're in pool mode. Like, if you are walking to or from the pool, I don't care how big the lobby, how crowded the lobby is, that part of that experience is going to the pool. And if you want to be shirtless, you can be shirtless. If you're going to the spa, if you're going to the pool, wherever, you're wearing these flip-flops, that's totally in your right. You can do that. And if people judge you for it, like, that's on them.
I feel you. No, again, I don't think that, like, if someone came up to this person, to the person, what is his name? The person that wrote this?
Elliot.
Elliot. If someone came up to Elliot and said, hey, sir, I'm sorry, like, what you're doing is against hotel rules, I'd be like, that's stupid. You're a resort. Resort town should be, you know, even if it's a higher end resort, the whole point of going there is to get sun, relax, take your shirt off, go into the pool, wear some flip flops. Absolutely. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, it's when I see someone like in a Vegas hotel without a shirt, like, I think specifically security will come up and be like, hey, you got to put a shirt on right now because you're taking the party a little too seriously and it needs to either stay outside or go straight up to your room. You can't be in the lobby doing that shit. You know what I mean?
But like, let's say you forget something in your room. Mm-hmm. And now we're in circus, you know?
Oh, we're in circus rules?
Yeah. You forget something in your room. Let's say you forgot, I don't know.
You forgot your dog. They're like, oh, I forgot my dog. It's up
and
there.
And it's like, I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to dry off. I'm just going to go run upstairs and get my thing, you know?
No, for sure you shouldn't do that. I mean, again, you're going to do it, but don't be surprised when security tackles you and says, and then they can't hold you because you're so wet. You're slipping out of them like a
big. The amount of times I've been at a circus, running back to the.
First of all, we're talking about a circus here. I'm pretty sure. I don't even know if they have security at a circus. Those places are insane.
They got security everywhere.
They got eyes everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I've never been to Vegas, and it doesn't seem like I'll ever go now at this point.
Andy, do you want to go to Vegas, though? Is that something that interests you?
Andy does not want to go to Vegas.
Let me ask you this question, Andy.
Vegas.
I only say no because I'm not a pool guy, right? Never learned how to swim. Don't love being without a shirt. There's so many things working against me.
Andy, they got a lot of pools that aren't deep.
Yeah, they have little pools where you literally just wade in and you don't even have to worry about swimming.
And you just get wasted. That's the whole point.
You could bring your guitar too. Just keep your feet in the water. Play some guitar there.
Andy, you'd get a lot of attention if you had a guitar.
I don't think they'll let you do that at all. I don't think that's illegal.
I don't have any guitar songs. I don't have any guitar songs.
Only if you show up with Fran.
Do a little duet. Anyway, Elliot, I wish you the best of luck, Elliot.
All right.
Now here's the thing. You've never been to Vegas, Andy Cortez. But when this all ends and we have some semblance of normal and we can travel freely and not die, are you going to go to Vegas?
I mean, like, no, right? It would have to be some big occasion. I wouldn't go on my own.
Let's say
I wouldn't go out of my own, like, you know, hey, Andy, I'm going to go to Vegas. Who wants to come with? Like, no, nah, man.
What if it's, let's say, I don't know, Tim Geddes is getting married and he's going to have a bachelor party. Maybe it's dual bachelor or bachelorette party in Vegas. You going? You in?
Oh, definitely. All right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Tim, you're doing a bachelor party in Vegas?
No, Tim has assured me he's doing it in San Francisco.
I'm never going to Vegas again in my life. The idea of going to Vegas right now is like, it is probably the furthest thing from a reality.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, Tim doesn't make the decisions on these things. You know?
There's a risk involved with the highest risk thing that I'm at some point going to return to in my life for sure, at least hopefully for sure, is Disneyland. And even that, do I imagine myself going to Disneyland in the next year? No. 2 years? No. Like, I don't even want to. I want to stop thinking there. I don't want to go down this path.
I think maybe after a year you'll be good.
Once there's a vaccine and you've taken it and you know you're all good.
Think about how short the lines are going to be, Tim, when you're immune to the COVID and you can ride Space Mountain over and over again.
But think about how long it's taken to get a Lyme disease vaccine, all right? 5 years on that front.
But Greg, when they got, like, you're the only one that really cares about
it. Yeah, Greg, they have like five people working on it. All the top scientists right now trying to figure out Corona.
The thing about Vegas that...
How many scientists do you think they took off Lyme disease to go fix COVID?
I heard it was going to be done year.
Like, they're like, guys, I know you're working on this.
The governing body of worldwide science. Like, you know what? I'm the governing body. I'm these five.
NewScience.com has relocated you.
Like, Tracy, Joseph, y'all have been doing great work. You've been making great strides. I heard 5 more years, apparently. But we got to get you over here, man. This is really important.
You can crack in a year and a half, but we're going to take half your team away. So now it's 5 years.
You guys know that there's, like, the World Health Organization, right? Like, there are organizations. Exactly.
Who?
Good. That was a good one. That was a good pull, guys.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
No, Andy, here's the thing about Vegas. I'm going to pitch you on this. What would you do if I told you there's a place you can go where you can stay up all night, you can spend all your money on gambling and probably not earn any money back, and the whole time they give you really watered down drinks that are going to give you a wicked hangover the next day, but anytime you want, you can go get chicken wings and tater tots.
All right.
Pretty sweet deal. Pretty sweet deal. I will admit to that part.
You know what? Here's what I say we do right now.
Here comes everybody.
Here's what I say we do right now. I think tater tots are so fucking overrated, dude.
I think
tater tots are the most overrated form of potato. And you saying tater tots almost makes me go, just give me fries. Just give me a fry. Quit trying to get fancy with this bullshit.
I can boot them from the call if you want.
They're not even in the same league, Andy. Fries are so basic. Tater tots are like the... Tim, help
you
me
have
out
tater
here. What's
tots
the
over
evolution?
Fries?
100%.
Mercedes-Benz of fries.
It's not
you
even
all have
close. It's not even
everybody
close.
Here has tater tots over fries.
I do not. No, these
not
people do
not over.
Speak for me.
It's not over. It's just like for you to have beef with tater tots is just utterly ridiculous.
It's not a beef. It's not a beef. It's just more of a like. I get it, dude. You're
but even a
you're
preference
special.
Against.
You're special. I'd rather just take a fry, right? I see a tater tot. It's like
you want a good McDonald's fry over that tater tot.
Yeah, 1,000%.
I agree. 1,000%. That I agree with that.
I mean, I don't think there's an argument there. Like,
I'm putting it on the Twitter
poll. Hold on. Like, the McDonald's, like, tater tot thing is fucking amazing.
You talking about the hash brown?
Yeah.
It's not a tater tot. That's a hash brown. It's very similar. It's very similar, but it's not the tot.
It's a tater tot. Like, it's
no,
just
it's not
a
fucking tater tot.
Kevin, that is not a tater tot, Kevin.
There's going to be two questions going up. There's going to be two poll questions going up now. But, no, Kevin, I agree with you. I love McDonald's hash browns. I feel like I enjoyed that way more
than
just a standard
tater tot. How is that not a tater tot, though?
Here's what I'll say is I don't like McDonald's hash browns. So there you go.
How?
They're greasy.
Yeah, sure. Greasy. But what fucking is it?
Greasy. They're disgusting. People are like, oh, man, put it inside an Egg McMuffin? Get the fuck out of here. The Egg McMuffin's perfect. Don't be touching the Egg McMuffin with this greasy hash brown, all right?
Greasy.
I don't like how many Z's you're putting in that.
You guys, like, seriously don't think that a tater tot is the same thing as hash browns?
They're the same consistency.
No, I mean, they're the same thing. Not... You just mash them into a shape.
No. Yeah. No.
Oh, all right.
No.
It's nope.
The problem
thing.
With a tater tot is the same problem with a hash brown is that you can get really good ones. I will admit. But then most of the time you don't. You get fucking boring ass raw potato in the center. You know what I mean? You go to a fucking diner restaurant, you never know what kind of goddamn hash brown you're about to get. Is it going to be great or is it just going to be a little crispy on the outside and then a pile of fucking raw potato? Like, hey, we fucking gave you a raw potato.
There's no problem. Enough ketchup can't fix, though. That's the thing with the hash brown.
I just don't want to. Oh, no, it's not even needed.
Man, this is a hard truth. This is a hard truth, Greg.
This is a hard truth. I will tell you this. I'm sorry, you guys got to wake up to the fact you all fall under big potato.
Can I admit something for you guys right now? Because you know, you guys are my best friends, and we're in the circle of trust, and I feel like I can open up about this finally after years. I didn't really think about tater tots that much until I discovered the tacho, which is the tater tot nacho. Once we went to Georgia. And we went to, what was that place called?
Vortex. You're right.
And they serve basically every iteration of like tater tot with toppings on top of it. And I was like, holy shit, there's been an awakening, you know, there's been an awakening, Tim. And now always, every time I see tater tots on a menu, I think, God, I don't get them, Andy. You know, I don't get them, but I secretly hope that Greg and Tim gets them so I can just eat off their plate. Like
have a little. Yeah, okay. I respect that.
I hate to do it to you guys, but look at this. This is every version of tater tot on Google Trends comparing to. Hold on.
This is a perfect way to do this, Greg.
Comparing to sex. You know what I mean? That's how unpopular tater tots are compared to sex. So let's just.
All we see is the United States of America and some red lines. We can't read what the fuck that is.
You know you can share your screen with us, right?
Shut up. No, you can't. Because I'm on a different machine.
Fucking fuck.
I'm on a different machine, Kevin. Also, it's funnier for the joke not to do it that way. You know what I mean?
Joey Noelle is the queen of the tot.
Here we fucking go.
She's got good taste, man. What do you want?
Every I see her multiple times a week making these tots.
Really?
And I respect her. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
See,
tater
now
tots
here's what,
something
here's
I
where...
think I forget exists until, we're at a Vortex or... No, literally, we're at some restaurant. Somebody makes them. Otherwise, I wouldn't have no idea. I don't think about tater tots. I care so little for them.
I just have tater tots so low because all it reminds me of is really bad cafeteria food.
Sure.
And I feel like that's the last time that I really remember tater tots was just just suffering through this terrible fucking papa.
Yeah, but I feel like
you
that. So here's where
off so much right now.
Here's what comes down to, Andy. Maybe you've just had bad tater tots because I will agree that like Joey is very brave for making them at home. I have never made them well at home. One side, Greg, is always way too burned and crispy. The other side's always like raw somehow.
You're talking about like the Ore Ida.
Yeah, you just pour them on a pan. You go, this is you're drunk as fuck, and you're like, I just want another cigarette. And you're like, this is gonna go great. And you put them in there, and you turn it on for like 400. And you forget about them for a while.
I've had tots at like, I don't know, fucking Denny's and other restaurants, not just like shitty restaurants, like whatever restaurants. I've had good quality tots, but they're just whatever to me. Give me a fry.
I just wouldn't put it in the same category as a fry. Like tots, yeah, sure, they're a side and stuff, but it's like, I don't need to compare them. I like them both. Fries are like Coca-Cola compared to any other soda, where it's just like, right, even like Andy, I know you're like, oh, Pepsi's not that bad. I'm just saying cola compared to any other soda. It's like, yeah, no shit. Fries are the standard. But it's like, we don't need to then compare it.
Are we going to say that French fries are the default state of potatoes? Is that what we're talking about right now?
They're the default state of a side of potatoes.
I'd say they're the top. And then I would put mash some more in there. I would have the red sort of buttery, salty seasoned potatoes. What are the wedges? Just like red
Curly
scallops. Like actual little potatoes. Like
they're just red potatoes.
Oh, you're talking about the little like quarters. Home style.
Yeah, those are real good.
Home style potatoes.
Those are real good. Yeah.
The thing delicious. Is, I think
Nick,
I'm
you
not,
just
I'm
shook
not,
your head at, against mashed potatoes.
I'm totally fine with that. I'm in my brain's in the what goes well. Like, what do you expect to have with a burger? And I just, that was my own bias. Gotcha. I apologize. Okay. You guys are on a different side game. You guys are on like, we're ordering fucking filet mignon sides. And I respect that. I'm sorry, Greg. Greg, I'd like to apologize to you specifically.
It's not accepted.
No, fuck me. All right. No, the thing about the Todd, sorry, and we can go to another question.
I'm reading the poll.
Sorry. Well, yeah, Todd's like a delicacy.
All right, so up on the Twitter poll, question is, what do you prefer, tater tots, fries? Tater tots has 29%, fries 71%. So the problem that I'm having with Tim's argument is that, and maybe even with Nick's and with Kevin's, is that I was like, I would 1,000% pick a French fry over a tater tot, and I feel like everybody attacked me and said, you're crazy, tater tots are better.
No.
I mean, I agree.
It sounded like that.
I agree.
Greg, it sounded like that.
I believe what Andy said is that tots are overrated, and then the tot anti-defamation league, Tim Getty's got off the bench trying to start swinging on you. And I think, again, back to the core of the argument, it is that tots are overrated because people get excited when they see tots because they don't think tots exist. That, and you have tots, and you're like, I would have had rather had a French fry.
It's a letdown.
I might go get tots right after this.
The second poll question. Is a hash brown just a tater tot?
No, see, that's not. It's the hash brown patties. Hash brown patties are tater tots, not hash.
Andy,
browns.
What's the official word?
God, I hate you guys.
The question was: is a hash brown just a tater tot? No,
hash brown patties.
For the record, the McDonald's. Andy's official verbiage doesn't even say just. So it is a hash brown a tater tot?
Okay.
I think that's less of a leading question. That's where we need to be with this one.
The 26% of the audience says yes, 74% no. I don't know, Kevin.
It's fucking ridiculous. That's even
the hash brown patties is essentially a large
hash brown patty.
That's what they're called. That's what they're called, Tim. I did a lot of research while you guys were
talking about Kevin, it has to do with the form factor, right? Sure, a steak is a burger, but
no,
there's
it's
a
not. No,
preparation.
No, because a steak there has to be ground to turn into a burger.
That's what I'm saying. But the tot has to be formed into a tiny little mini marshmallow size that I used to think were like tiny little barrels of gasoline.
Yeah,
like
that's what I saw too. Yeah,
for like your GI Joes. Yeah,
sure. That's the definition of tot, though, is that shape.
Exactly.
Which is why the hash brown can never be that.
Don't get me wrong, Kevin. I love the McDonald's hash browns. I'm not on this weird fucking health kick that Greg's on where everything's too greasy for me. I don't understand.
God,
Kevin, if you and me go right now and we take a fucking egg McMuffin, take off the fucking thing and put two hash browns on that thing, I'm with you.
How have I never thought about that?
Because it's a heart attack waiting to happen.
I'm fucking
it's a terrible.
Do I look
idea.
Like a man that wants to live to be an old man? You know.
You sure don't. But the pissy thing is that you're gonna outlive all of us, and it's gonna annoy me when I die. And you still look like you're 35. True. I'm like, what That's virgin true. Did you fucking eat to stay that young?
It's true.
Blessing Adeoye Jr., host of PS I Love You, and new face of video, kind of funny game daily, replies: enough of you haven't been to Sonic Drive-In, and it shows tots all day.
I've been to Sonic.
This guy's just full of the worst fucking opinions ever. Jesus Christ.
Opinions.
It is insane.
You see me knock his ass out cold today when he was trying to fucking tell me that the lox are cooked fish? I was like, no, they're not. And I screen grabbed the thing and he apologized publicly.
Wait.
Wow.
Isn't it smoked salmon?
But it's not. Lox aren't cooked. They're brined.
But, yeah, they're not like,
well, no,
they're still raw technically, right?
No, they're cooked in the smoke. They're smoked. You put them in a
smoker. No, you're talking about two different things, Kevin, and you're welcome to Google lox and read it for yourself. The conversation is ended.
Is lox not smoked? Just smoked salmon?
Kevin, Google that. I'm going to bring up a point right now that I think you guys, just because it's just the four of us, no one else is listening. Blessing and I have a tremendous amount in common. And I think if he liked me more, we could be best friends.
I think, honestly, if you could just exist in the same room, that would help. That's the problem with Blessing. You know what I mean? I get to work with him a lot. I have a lot of fun with him. We're like a dad and a stepson out there throwing the ball to each other. We're having a great time. But you guys don't get to see him. So it's kind of like he's a boy in a plastic bubble. And I get to throw the ball at him. And you guys are like his creepy uncles that drive by.
Greg,
you know what I mean?
I see my confusion here. I usually get the Nova Lock.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is cold smoked. Which is what I'm talking about.
I used to get the Nova Lock too. I don't know what the hell fucking weird ass kind of locks that Greg's consuming.
I don't think
when originally derived from the Yiddish word for salmon, lax. Lox is never cooked. You make it by taking a fillet from the salmon's belly and curing it in a salty brine. Fuck you. Hmm. Fuck you. Fuck Blessing.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, it's a whitefish. Yeah.
Gia will take Joey's tots. from the bag, the Orinda bag or whatever you call it.
Oh, don't. Where are we going with this? What is happening? Is she eat them cold? What's happening?
No, no, no.
Oh, thank
God. She'll put them in the waffle maker. Waffle iron. Makes a little nice. Makes a nice little taut platform that then you can put stuff on and eat it like it is a fancy.
Does it
type of,
does it plate. Glue them all together?
Yeah, because it like
glues
them together.
Does she like she smushes them and just makes one big top patty?
It's like a waffle, but it's tater tot.
I don't know if I can get behind that.
You can do the exact same thing with hash browns because they're the exact same fucking thing.
No, but Kevin, when you take the tot and smash it back down into a patty, it becomes a hash brown at that point. Then you've just got a hash brown patty at that point. Like you get from like Denny's when they get the hash brown on the side, which is
that's
bomb,
like saying ice and water are different because they're different, like physical.
They're different.
Shape. They are different. They are. They're 100% different. They're I don't put water in my Diet Coke.
It's an argument. If I walk into a restaurant blind, or not blind, I mean, I just don't know the restaurant. You know what I mean? I don't know
open your eyes. Open your eyes, sir. Why are you doing this?
Greg, we're going into a restaurant. I stab myself in the eyes. And they say, and I know this is a weird one, but you can have tater tots or you can have hash browns. I'm going to go tater tots 10 out of 10 times because I know what I'm getting. Hash browns, again, can be multiple things. They can be the shredded potatoes like I'm talking about with like a giant fucking mound of them that are disgusting and uncooked. They can be like Arts Cafe does, like that, in rest in peace, the fucking hash browns super thin that they make into a sandwich and they put stuff inside of it. That's amazing. But it's just crispy. All it is crispy.
It's crispy.
I'm not going to roll the dice when I go in when fucking I want a side potato.
Now, let me ask you this question, Greg. You go into Art's Diner and you go, hey, can I get some tater tots? Or you go into a restaurant and go, can I get some tater tots? And they bring you just this plate of flat, like burned fucking potatoes. What do you think to yourself? Oh, that's a giant tater tot?
Yeah, I won't be thinking it to myself. I'll look them in the fucking face and go, what is this supposed to be? What are you trying to pull right now?
Here's the M. Night Shyamalan Christopher Nolan twist. Camera pans up. It's Kevin serving you the tater tot.
God, man. It wouldn't be a nightmare because I like Kevin a lot, but it would be a nightmare that like he's just chasing me down trying to make me eat tater tots slash hash browns.
The idea of flattening these tater tots and making a little plate just reminds me of it reminds you of the Mitch Hedberg joke where he's like, when you buy a box of Ritz, there's all these suggestions for what to put on top of the Ritz. Put some turkey on it. Put some smoked ham. Put some fruit on it. He's like, what if I just want some crackers, man? I didn't buy them because they're little edible plates. makes it laugh. He's the best.
let's take a left turn here to more serious topics, all right? Oh, sure, yeah. You want to talk about our sponsor? Let's hear from our sponsor. This episode of the Kinda Funny Podcast is brought to you by Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So, if you're still needlessly throwing money away every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be and help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or a diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000 so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept the rate and proceed with your application. And the best part, if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off high interest credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get everything into one simple thing with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot and hurry to upstart.com/kindoffunny to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. All right, now we're back and we're taking yet another turn. So we're not even all the way around the block because we've taken two right turns. All right, so we're coming down the third side. It's like a U now. We're making like
I thought we were going left.
We could if you want. Did I say left?
It's a small.
I'm pulling a U.
We're gonna do a hard left turn.
I'm pulling a U.
Okay, I'm lost. You guys know I'm not a good driver.
Now we're taking a left.
Did you think left?
A top of an L. Now it's a top of an L.
Because I feel like when someone says turn, I think right. Just because otherwise you have to wait.
But when you go in a different direction,
I'm right there. No, I'm with Kevin. I fucking hate left-hand turns.
Yeah, because then you have to wait for the fucking cars to stop.
In San Francisco. You can't make them in San Francisco. No, it's bullshit. I remember when I moved here I was driving on Market. I couldn't get off Market. Just find a new house. You know what I mean? Had to move.
Fair.
Tim?
Yes.
It is, as of recording, Tuesday, August 4th, 4:28 p.m. The nation turns their eyes to you, the Disney expert.
Mm-hmm.
Mulan has given up and is coming out for $30 on Disney Plus.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
The world has
Mulan herself.
How do we make this happen for Black Widow?
I mean, it depends on how well Mulan does and how long all this goes. Like, I really think that this is absolutely a sign of them just being like, it's not like this decision was made out of the goodness of their hearts to give us content.
Of course not. Of course not.
It was made of, I mean, them giving up Mulan. Mulan was projected to be their biggest moneymaker of the year in theaters, even more so than Black Widow. Sure. So for them to make this decision, it is because, like, I don't know how much you listened to the investor call or saw any of the information on it. Like, they're literally down. I was reading an article that was headlined. They have this year, they have an Avengers Endgame sized hole.
Yeah,
and that was a literal thing where that movie becoming the highest grossing movie of all time at the whatever 1.3, 1.4 billion. Disney is down that this year. Like,
would you mind me reading from it?
Go for it.
I'm at TheVerge.com, where a friend of the show, Julia Alexander, writes, Disney faces an Avengers Endgame sized hole as earnings plummet. Disney continues to face financial woes in just about every part of its business, but 1 year after Avengers Endgame came out, it's clear just how much the pandemic has affected its studios division. Disney didn't release any major films last quarter, and the third quarter earnings report shows how much that impacted the company. Overall, revenue hit $11.78 billion, down from $20.2 billion the year before. But most of that came from streaming. Studio revenues decreased 55% in the quarter to $1.7 billion, the company announced. That means Disney made $1.7 billion this quarter and $3.8 billion in the same time frame last year. What it shows is that there's a big Avengers Endgame hole in the calendar, and it's a perfect example of just how much of an impact the pandemic has had on one of Disney's core businesses. Quote, theatrical distribution in the quarter was negatively impacted by COVID-19 as theaters were generally closed domestically and internationally, the report reads. No significant titles were released in the current quarter compared to the release of Avengers Endgame, Aladdin, and Dark Phoenix the year prior quarter. So my question is, you said Mulan's going to be was meant to be the biggest moneymaker for them, right? Mm-hmm. Why test it with that?
Because that was supposed to come out in March. So it's been, that one is like been done and completed for the longest amount of time. And I think that they more so want to try to maintain the MCU having the film and Disney Plus TV identity. And until they have to give up that goose too. So sure. Currently right now it's like, so Mulan's coming September 4th, but we still know that Black Widow is slated for November. And even before that in August, we have the New Mutants, LOL. I imagine that Mulan is going to do well and it's going to make Disney have to look at it all. But I also think that they're kind of playing chicken with the theaters, because right now they're even saying they're like, this isn't a thing going forward. We're going to look at everything as a one-off situation. That's more just a statement to the theaters that they're not trying to piss off, as evidenced by all the stuff we've been seeing with Universal and AMC over the last couple of months.
And explain that to me.
I mean, essentially, Universal was like, fuck it, we can't be in theaters, so we're going to put our movies out on SVOD, which just means you can buy, like, similar to what this Mulan situation is. The interesting wrinkle of Mulan is you need to be a Disney Plus subscriber and pay $30. Sure, so this is a whole new level.
That's like what the UFC is doing. I hate that shit. Yeah, like, you have to subscribe to ESPN Plus and still pay like $50 or $40 for UFC fights. I'm like, oh, fuck, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah. But it is what it is. Like, they want to make their money back. They need to make their money back, or else movies won't be made anymore on that scale, you know? So it's like, that's kind of the unfortunate reality we're looking at. But with the Universal thing, Greg, like, pretty much they're like, we're going to put Trolls World Tour out. It's not even going to have a theatrical run at all. So that entirely fucks AMC and other theater chains. In addition to fucking the actors who signed a contract for royalties on theatrical release, you know, like the tale of all of that. Movies not like there was a promise in Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendrick's contracts that the movie was going to see theatrical release. So that caused a whole bunch of shit. And then AMC was like, fuck this. We're not going to show Universal movies anymore. And then they came to a new
agreement. There's like a windowing on it, right?
17 days, which is nuts because they first got in trouble trying to get a 30 day time last year for some other movie. I forgot what it was. This is pre-COVID though, that they were trying to get, and they lost that. And AMC was like, hell no, we'll never do it. Everything's changed though. Like all of this goes out the window because we're dealing with the realities of these companies need money. Looking at Disney's being down $1.4 billion though, that's still pretty damn impressive given the state of their business as a whole, including all the parks being closed and all that stuff.
So here's my thought on it. I don't want to see Mulan. I never saw the original Mulan.
I hate this.
I don't know anything about Mulan.
Taste is other the than
Jimmy's. Jimmy's. I have no good taste time for Mulan. I've never bitten a Mulan like Tim has. I'll do it. I'll give him the $30 just to prove that I want this. Is that the right move for me, Tim? I'll watch Mulan. I'll just give him the $30 because I mean, Black Widow. I want everything. Fucking give up, Tenet. Give up. Just fucking give up and give us the goddamn movies. We're trying.
Yeah, but help. I mean, that's true, Greg. But then giving up means at some point you might not get these movies ever again.
What do you mean?
You mean on the scale?
Yeah, they won't be able to put $200 million behind something because the budgets have to shrink. But they'll build back up.
Will I still get superhero movies?
They'll look radically different.
They won't be as big. They'll be more like Netflix original movies where Lana Condor is in it. By the way, I just watched Kissing Booth.
Don't insult what you're about to do.
I'm joking. No, I'm not going to say fuck you. I'm not going to insult Lana.
Lana Condor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Andy, am I wrong? Man. Did it sound like he's about to take a fucking shot?
Because it was sort of this insinuation that like, yeah, and it's going to be starring Lana Condor and whatever other Netflix like C-list actress or
yeah, but you know. clearly he was like, oh, that's a wrong direction to go, and he hit in reverse, Sammy. He just fucking went backward, and now he's down the right road.
That was
for audio listeners. You're like, I'm very confused right now. What's going on? It would
also, just in the perfect Nick Scarpino move, he somehow totally pushed all that blame to Tim. expertly made it seem like Tim was about to fuck
it. Yeah, I mean, Greg, to really answer your question, it's like, we have to support this. This is what we have right now. We don't know that movie theaters are ever going to come back in a real substantial way. And it's like, I would rather than be getting money for these movies to have a chance of even having any of them in the future. Other things in the investment call, they did confirm that there will be a Disney Plus specific investor call in the coming months this year. And that I'm pretty surprised that we are supposedly 2 months away from Mandalorian season 2. And there's no reconfirmation of that. We know Falcon and Winter Soldier went from August to now just fall. WandaVision still says December. So it's like, what, we're going to get information on that. I was expecting to see at least dates today. So I don't know.
I know where your head's at though, Greg. Like you're trying to speak with your wallet. You're trying to vote with your wallet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like for a movie like Mulan, it's not something that I would want to spend $30 on. But again, this Marvel stuff, like, would I have to do this in order to get what I want in the future? Is this sort of like I'm pre-ordering for, you know, a better package in the future where I do get the actual content that I want? I don't know, man. It's weird because it's interesting thinking about the pros and cons on both sides of whether you do or whether you don't. And the don't would suck because, yeah, what if it takes forever? What if it takes movies forever to get back to that status and that sort of those big grand, you know, $300 million budget type movies?
Maybe it's a blessing in disguise, right? Maybe it's like, the world did it so well leading up to Endgame that we're just like, let's quit while we're ahead. Let's go back down to like $20 million movies. That's the top budget. We'll knock it down to like 1982 standards before.
Let's have an hour and 20 minute movies. Oh, yeah,
I would love that. I've been watching a lot of 80s movies. I'm like, they're not deep at all, but they are over fast. That's for sure. My opinion is like it's got to be a case by case basis, right? Like if we were talking about Tenet, I would absolutely watch this. I would pay $30 to watch this tomorrow if that were the case. Mulan doesn't speak to me. I don't really care one way or the other about it. I hope it does well, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just gonna it's gonna be it's just going to be what it's going to be, but they're going to have to start putting more movies out because theaters are not going to open anytime soon. So
come on, Ghostbusters World. Somebody sign an agreement with, or Afterlife, Ghostbusters.
I was like, World, what? That would be amazing.
Sadly.
That would be
unbelievable. I just tweeted at Jason Reitman a funny joke of how much I have to Venmo you to see Ghostbusters Afterlife right now. So
The sad thing is, like, what breaks my heart is when these movies go down in history is like losing money, and they're gonna all have to have an asterisk next to them of being like, no, it's not their fault. They didn't come out. They didn't, you know, like Mulan's probably a good movie and it's not going to nearly make back what it should have made back. And who knows what it could have done. Same with like the Black Widows and the Tenants and all these movies that we're all going to love, but they're going to be like, you're gonna look on box, like 20 years from now, Greg Jr. is going to be running Screencast and he's going to be like, oh, let's see what Mulan did. Oh my God, that was a terrible box office.
Paula, before you give us an update on housekeeping, let's check over and see what Mulan did.
Yeah, dude, this should bring it up for me. This shit worries me because obviously when we think of the budgets of these movies, we know that these giant A-list actors and actresses are getting paid a fuckload. And it's always sort of the effects guys that are getting fucked over. And maybe they work for an effect house that gets contracted to work this and that, and they get laid off or whatever. And they're not raking it in, right? They're making maybe $40K a year or something like that. And that, to me, that's worrying to me because they were already getting fucked over before with gigantic budgets.
Well,
What's it going to be like now?
Let's put it this way. Like, and this is no disrespect to Scarlett Johansson, but she's not hurting for cash, even though, you know, Black Widow hasn't come out yet. But I'm sure the people who are like the makeup artists and costumers and things like that are like, fuck, I can't pay my bills because I literally can't work. Yeah. But the sad thing is like those, the bigger, and you know, people get what they get, it's free market economy. But if you look back into like the history of film, I just read a book about Chinatown that talked about like the transition from like 60s and 70s filmmaking to like the Hollywood big budget movies. And a lot of that was driven by the fact that stars realized that they could just ask for a shit ton of money. And if Jack Nicholson got paid $1 million, then Warren Beatty would be like, well, I want $2 million. And then all of a sudden just had this like agents then had to negotiate for them. And of course the CAA kind of came up and had all of the stars and the directors and producers together. They started packaging shit and just charging outrageous amounts for stuff, which really changed the face of how people got paid in Hollywood. But my point is that there's really no parity between what a star gets paid and like what they bring to the table per se. You can't really, like, Julia Roberts getting paid $20 million for something. Like, I don't know that that's necessarily worth that. It's just, that's how much they can get paid. Unlike everyone else that's below the line, which is like, you got to get paid whatever the rate is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting also looking at like Mulan and I mean, Mulan specifically, I think is probably the biggest movie going to be affected because the other movies around then that started getting delayed were like Quiet Place 2, obviously much smaller budget.
Yeah.
There was a lot of marketing put into that, but nowhere near the amount that had already been put into Mulan that continued to get put into Mulan for its different release date. Then it got delayed like what, 3-4 times before this, and now it's going to need even more marketing to talk about this new release plan. It's like all of that stuff is like more money is going to be spent on Mulan than traditionally on similar movies, and it's going to make way less. Now the thing is, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. It just needs to be able to create a system that makes money. And I personally am very surprised. I would have bet that Mulan would have not made it to Disney Plus this year. I would have thought that if it hit next year, they would have to figure something out and everything would have to change. But the fact that they're doing this, especially with the business model that we haven't seen yet, this is by far the most expensive movie at $30. The other ones have been $20. And a subscription service is necessary to have that. That is a very smart call on Disney's part to get more people in on a subscription base. Greg Miller.
You said the others have been $20. Has Disney done this already where they've done come to our streaming service and rent a movie for $20?
No, this is the first time they've done this. Disney did move onward straight to Disney Plus.
Yeah, I saw that. I remember that.
Which was huge.
Had a theatrical run for a while.
For a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But moving it straight to Disney Plus, not even doing the having that moment of it being only available for paid VOD, was an interesting call for them. So it's like, this is them doing something radically different. It was Universal that's been putting out the movies for $20. Oh,
right. Early access.
Up to $24, which is a little bit closer to that $30. But you don't require the subscription service. So that's
interesting. that's the bit. The requiring the subscription service is the bit that's like that. This is going to get them even more new signups, and those people are probably going to stay because that's how subscription services work.
Yeah, you're paying $35, $36 for the movie instead if you didn't have the service beforehand.
Sure,
man. Disney Plus is just. God, I do not use Disney Plus at all. Like thinking about the last time I actually opened up a show and watched something on that platform, I don't remember what it would be, honestly. Because it's just been all about Netflix and Hulu for me and Prime every once in a while.
Right, that's the thing.
Funimation,
different things for different places. I just signed up for a while. To your question, I hadn't used Disney Plus in forever, and then 2 days ago, I think over the weekend, I opened up and I'm like, you know what? I want to rewatch all the MCU stuff. So I started Iron Man. And it's like, you know, I'll just chip away at that when I want to. But I'm right there with you. I signed up for Shudder, the horror movie streaming service or whatever, with all the different stuff on there. So I could go watch that Host movie, which is excellent and really good and well done. Really good, scary movie in our modern quarantine time. Really well done.
I'll pass on that one probably.
Yeah, you're not a big horror person, but me and Jen are big horror people, right? So it was cool to get that. But then it is that thing of, I started doing like, is it one in, one out? Where it's like, I have that, right? And then there's Amazon Prime, obviously, and then there's Netflix, and then there's Disney Plus, and then there's Hulu and stuff like that. And like, granted, like some of these are stuff we're using as a company, so we're on family shares and stuff, but it still is that idea of like, am I going to keep Shudder around beyond this one movie, or how am I going to handle that? It's like WWE Network, where I sign up for an Undertaker documentary, and then I bounce. But then I'll come back when they do something else cool.
I got really excited because my dad recently texted me. He was like, I normally give all my parents my logins and just let them use my shit. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, are you using this HBO Max thing? I signed up because we had to. I always signed up because I wanted to, but all the Ghibli movies are there and we're reviewing them. And he was like, I have it because I have HBO with my cable service. Do you just want my login? I was like, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, finally, father. I'm getting some of that.
I didn't know when finally I picked you 30 years ago, you were going to pay off the dividend.
Yeah.
HBO Max is one of those interesting ones, though, because I at first was like, oh man, this is so convoluted and stupid. And it still is to a certain degree, but I got really excited the first time I fired it up because I was like, oh, there's even more stuff on this platform. Sure. And now it's always so bittersweet because you're like, oh, there's all these great, cool movies. And then after a week, I'm like, well, gone through all those. Don't really know what else to watch. I just went back and watched The Dark Knight Returns Part 1 and Part 2, the animated one they did with Peter Weller, just because it's there. I'm cool. Like, oh, I haven't seen this in a while. Put them both up.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, pretty okay. Honestly, Kev, I actually don't love Peter Weller's voice. Yep.
It's weird. It just doesn't seem.
It's no disrespect to Peter Weller. I just feel like he didn't turn in a very compelling performance. Yep. And I think Kevin Conroy just really understands what it is to be Batman. And I really am kind of sad. I think the movie was somewhat hurt by the fact that they didn't get him for that. And I don't know why.
Which Batman was that one?
The Batman, The Dark Knight, Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns, Part 1, Part 2. Gotcha. It's beautifully animated. I don't think it's super faithful to the source material. I think they kind of strayed off a little bit because the way the two parts are put together, I think I remember there being more Superman in the beginning of the book, but I don't know.
I watched it forever ago. I don't remember.
I vaguely remember it being very like spot on with the story.
It's accurate, but I think they missed some of the like, political undertones in it. Either way.
Talking about Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Part 1, Part 2. Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Both of them. And they're really good. And it is very faithful. But then it's faithful, I think, to its detriment, where it kind of loses the character. And I think that crossing mediums, it like, I didn't really enjoy it nearly as much.
I didn't either. I was telling those guys, I just went back and watched it again because I remember watching it the first time. I didn't love it. And I'm like, oh, maybe I was just in a weird mood or whatever. Fired it back up. And I was like, this is not, it's good. It's cool. Yeah. And obviously that story is fucking bananas, but for some reason Peter Weller didn't do it for me, and it kind of takes me out of it. Mm-hmm. And I remember there being a lot more in that story about it being more focused on snapping Superman out of being like a tool of the American government. I thought that was the whole point of what he was doing, and in the movie it doesn't come through that way. It's just like this little blip of the last like 20 minutes of the story. But either way,
I think that's the comic as well, though.
Was it? Because I could have swore the whole point of the comic was that he was like, Superman is the only person that can like he, we need to snap Clark out of this because he has to stop being this like.
But he doesn't want to be a bootlicker for.
But I think that's what I'm talking about. That it being like crossing mediums, kind of losing it. Where in the comic, I think you kind of just fill some things in your head, but when you're watching it, you expect to be told a bit
more. Maybe. I think there was some more new stuff. Maybe potentially, but I mean, I could be talking.
There's a lot of new stuff. Yeah, a lot of talking.
Real quick, Nick. One thing I want to say about HBO Max. I love the like leaving soon feature.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
You're talking about the movie. You're like, hey, this is like your last chance to watch this.
Yeah, last chance, I think.
In like a couple weeks. Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool. I didn't know it really had that.
It gives me a little bit of anxiety and like, oh, I should watch whatever's on here just because it'll be gone.
Yeah, Netflix started that as well.
I feel like it's a little too soon to have a Leaving Two section for HBO Max. Yeah, we just got
it. It's HBO.
Yeah, it's still HBO. Like HBO always has like rotating things. Like HBO Go had a Leaving Soon section too and like Coming Soon too. The Coming Soon is disappointing because you'd open it up and be like, "Oh man, I can't wait to watch this." Oh, I guess I have to wait.
I'm a couple episodes into Narcos season 3. Nick, kind of giving up, not feeling it.
It's not as good as the first two seasons. Is this one with what's his name, Diego Luna?
Yeah, it's a Cali cartel. Just not feeling it.
It gets better. The second season's better, but it's not as good as the story of Pablo Escobar is just unbelievably
good.
Captivating. Yeah. But you know,
I'm kind of losing it, so I might just stop that and just start with Narcos Mexico.
Oh wait, that's what I'm talking about.
No, because the season 3 of Narcos is the Cali cartel.
Oh, that's right. That's not the Michael Pena one though, right?
No.
Oh, kick over to kick over to Mexico.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that.
You don't need to. Yeah, worry about that.
Not a big fan. Not feeling it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Kind of Funny podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, rolling with us, having fun with us. Of course, the fun doesn't end. We're going to go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Do the post show over there. Of course, you get the show ad free. You can write in just like Sean F. did. We're going to answer his question, which is, if you guys each had to pick one positive trait that you love about each of your coworkers, what would it be and why? We're going to answer that in the post show if you want to hang out. Remember, if you don't have any bucks, sauce or way to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. It's no big deal. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny. Podcast services around the globe each and every week to get a brand spanking new episode of us hanging out and bullshitting with each other. Oh, Andy, by the way, did you see this fucking Cheetos mac and cheese?
It's just regular Cheetos, right?
I forget if it's hot or not.
Either way, like whether it's hot or not,
for you, that won't bring you over.
Whether it's hot or not, the hot never ever translates.
Flaming hot mac and cheese is real. Andy, come on.
Wait, where is this?
Actually,
or what is
bold
this?
And cheesy. Candy Hunting it's on our subreddit. It's on Instagram too. New Cheetos mac and cheese is out now at Walmart. There are three flavors: bold and cheesy, flaming hot, and cheddar jalapeno. Huge thanks to Courtney86T for the tip on these. Andy, come on. I'm going to walmart.com right now. I'm going to get this for you.
What a threat.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time. It's been a pleasure to serve you.